of us who are sick and our pews are kind of empty, but for those who have come, I hope you've come in anticipation. I want to welcome all of you who are watching on live stream and hope that this Sunday finds you blessed, and would ask that you would give our brother Don your attention and also your prayers that he might be able to deliver this message and be able to see the notes that he has and all of those things. And I enjoy the opportunities to hear him preach. He's a very good teacher, and I always find myself uplifted and strengthened. So, without any further ado, I'll give you our brother and apostle, Don McAdoo.
Thank you, Adam. And thank you for agreeing to help me and for your prayer. I wish to welcome you each here this day. I take it from a brief little message I heard from my daughter today that Brian and Dwayne have arrived. And Dwayne without his luggage. So he is faced with problems. And I'm happy that we have a congregation that keeps our ministry and our traveling ministry and people in their prayers. Joel as well is on the road. He and Trevor are going to be traveling through the Northwest. Let's keep them in our prayers as well. I'd like to begin with a text in the third book of Nephi. I guess maybe before I read this, I just mentioned that Brother Gordon and I are working on a little project, and in it, I had to read the Book of Mormon again, for which I'm grateful. It's a marvelous book, full of wonders, full of marvelous things, prophecies, scripture, given by God Almighty. And right now I'm in the book of Ether. But as I was reading some time ago in the third book of Nephi, I was impressed by a number of things that have impressed me before, but many of them I had forgotten. Some new ideas that had come to me. But I was impressed with this third book of Nephi, chapter 9. I was impressed with the fact that it has at the beginning of chapter 9 such wonderful, marvelous experiences of these people that had now met their Savior for the first time, in whom they had trusted, many of them, and many for the first time. They were gathered in his presence, and he blessed them with a beautiful communion service and with prayers and personal blessings. And that was the first part of this chapter 9, a rather lengthy chapter. And then the majority of the chapter is given to prophecy. Prophecy that in many instances is relevant to our time and to you, to each of us. And I would like to have you focus your attention once again on some of these words of prophecy. I think I'll begin by reading on page 658 in verse 48. Well, I'll start with verse 47. And here we see the words of Jesus Christ. "Ye remember that I spoke unto thee and said, that when the words of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, behold, they are written ye have them before you. Therefore, search them. Oh, listen. We have them before us, too. Brother Glenn has dedicated a lot of lessons, hard work, in the teaching of Isaiah. Brother Brian, at another time, went through and printed the teachings of Isaiah. And I still have much difficulty in understanding some of them and applying some of them as they should be applied. The prophecies of Isaiah, they too, some of the beautiful prophecies of Isaiah apply to our day or the day just ahead of us. It speaks of this latter day. And Jesus is going to be speaking of things that are going to come to pass in his future and some of them still in our future. But there are things that we will need to be involved in. We need to give attention. We need to give prayer to God Almighty for inspiration, for understanding of that which he would have us to be doing. That these beautiful prophecies shall be fulfilled. And some of them aren't so beautiful. And they will be fulfilled. And we need to know how to be prepared for that day that is shortly to come apass. So I'm glad to share these with you. And I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to read verse 48. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. The fulfilling of the covenant of the Father. He was speaking here of the words revealed through the prophet Moses. And I'm going to ask Adam if he would read to us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 40 through 45.
If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember. And I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord.
Our Lord never forgets his people. His hand is extended out to them still. When we make errors, when we forget or become weak and do those things that are contrary to his will, his hand is extended out to us still. We are told in John, by John, in 1st or 2nd John, I don't remember just which, chapter 2, that if we have fallen into some kind of sin, pray to our Lord who sits on the right hand of the Father. We will receive blessings from these, our Savior and our God Father, whose hand is extended out still to His people, never to forget. I'm going to read verse 49 in 3rd Nephi. The vast majority of the scriptures that we read are going to be in 3rd Nephi, chapter 9, verse 49. And then shall the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth be gathered in from the east and from the west, from the south and from the north, and they shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who hath redeemed them. They shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, and that is, and their Redeemer, and that is before they are gathered in to their homeland once again from all these areas. You know, it is so beautiful to know that God has a plan from the very beginning, from the foundations of the earth. Knowing the weaknesses of the children of men, He had a plan. And He keeps them in His thought and in His mind always, just as He keeps each of you in His heart and in His thought. And you know, we know these prophecies. We've heard so many of them read to us over and over again. And I'm guilty of reading some of them over and over again. Isaiah 11, you've heard a few verses there about this gathering over and over. Jeremiah chapter 16, you've heard it again and again. But not all of them. We haven't heard them all. I'm going to ask Adam if he'll read Isaiah chapter 43, verses 5 through 7 in Isaiah. A marvelous prophet.
Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him.
And he wishes to redeem them each, if they will but look out to him. And that is why this gospel restored in the latter day that tells us the story of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the gospel as it was first given by Jesus Christ. That is why it must be preached to the nations of the world, to the scattered remnants of the house of Israel. That's why Brian and Dwayne are in Ethiopia right now. There are members of the house of Israel scattered about the mountainous areas of Ethiopia and the plains and other nations in Africa and Asia, North and South America. We need to be ready always to reach out. We need to be praying that God will touch the hearts of these people, that they will be inspired to make contact with us, or that we will be inspired to go to where they are and make contact with them. How wonderful the plan of God. And we're a part of it. And we need to be ready always to respond. In 3 Nephi, chapter 9. I'd like to read verse 51. Verse 51. And I say unto you that if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessing which they have received, which they shall receive, after that they have after that they have scattered my people, then shall ye which are a remnant of the house of Israel go forth among them. We have received a marvelous blessing, the gospel restored, the word of God preached. And you have heard it preached with power, with authority, restored once again, when so many people of Christian belief are still wandering us in a form of darkness because they have not received the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have not received all of the sacraments and all of the blessings and all of the marvelous ordinances that he placed in his church of old. And they have not had the opportunity to hear or read the word as it was first spoken, because so many changes have been made. But you know, there he said, if we Gentiles, after we have come, we've been led to this great land of America, and the original residents were scattered before us, killed, starved, pushed farther and farther away. Then if we do not repent, that word that we just read said, they will go forth among us. It's interesting to me. I don't know how many of you remember the terrible mob scenes that covered California back in 1992, right after Rodney King was beaten and his bones broken by the policeman. It was awful. Brother Ken remembers because he was over there just a few days after the riots stopped. And it was still frightening. You were still looked upon with hate by people. About a year or two after those riots, there were some reporters from a large newspaper back in New York that were sent out to Los Angeles. And they were asked to interview the people who had been affected by those riots in Los Angeles. The black people, the white people, the oriental part of the city. They suffered losses. And these reporters went out and met with these people. And they were going to take that back to their editors and to their owners. One of those reporters was talking to one of the leaders of the Mexican people that lived there in Los Angeles. And he said to them, you remember the words of Martin Luther King, we shall overcome. But we Latinos, we shall overwhelm. Overwhelm who? The Gentiles who have come to this land and scattered their ancestors over the lands and killed them and mistreated them. And when the gospel was restored and presented to them, did they receive it? Not at all. I doubt that 1% of the population that has been presented with the restored gospel has accepted it. I think about our day today. One of the big problems that America has not been able to come to grips with in any way, by law or by any other way, is the immigration, the illegal immigration of so many migrants. We shall overwhelm. As Jesus said here, they shall go forth among you. I believe it's a fulfillment of prophecy. And I'm not angry with them. I am angry with us, this Gentile nation that turned it back on the restored gospel, on the word of God Almighty. How sad that is. I'd like to go now over to verse 56 and read verse 56. These are the words of Jesus Christ spoken in prophecy. And it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them at that day. And except they repent, it shall fall upon them, saith the Father, yea, even upon all the nations of the Gentiles. Think about the news that you hear and read. You can't escape it. We're living in that day when the sword of God's justice is beginning to fall upon the nations of the Gentiles. That includes Muslims. That includes atheists. That includes France and Denmark and England and the United States of America. We need to be prepared for this day. It is upon us. It's not something way off in the distant future. The sword of God's judgment is going to fall upon the nations of the Gentiles. We need to be asking the Lord how we can prepare ourselves. And one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves is to be faithful believer and a righteous, obedient servant of Jesus Christ. That's a preparation we need to be making. And America is soon going to be involved once again in Iraq and Syria. Our young men are going to be going there. We need to be praying for them. But God's justice is going to fall upon the nations of the Gentiles. I'd like to read a couple verses farther down. Verse 58, I believe it is. Verse 58. And behold, this people he was talking to, their descendants, this people, I will establish in this land under the fulfilling of the covenant which I made with your father Jacob. And it shall be a new Jerusalem. Now I have to confess, when Jesus stood there in Mesoamerica and said, this land, I don't know if he was speaking about Mesoamerica, or if he was speaking about a portion of the United States, or if he has included all this land, America. It shall be the inheritance of the descendants of the house of Joseph. And our job is to help them find their way to the restored gospel, come to a full understanding of their Savior and their Redeemer, and they will be established in this land, and it shall be a new Jerusalem. And over in chapter 10, it tells us there, Jesus said to, in the next chapter, he said, and many of the house of, as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city. That they may build a city. And that reminds me of words that I have kept in my heart of a young woman who once lived among the Maya people. Her name is Karina Shields. She speaks English. Maybe she learned it later in life because I knew her brother and he did not. Brother Leon Yates became friends with this woman. And she helped him. She's an anthropologist. And she helped him understand some puzzling things that he had seen in the ruins of the Maya people. She was born on a ranch near the old city of Palenque in the rainforest of Chiapas. Her father was a rancher. As she grew up, she made friends with many of the Mayan children. And she walked among them, and I imagine she surely spoke Maya. And she became so acquainted with them that she dedicated her life to a study of these people. And I would like to read just a few of her words. She has written a book, but they were not in the book. But she also was invited a number of years ago to the auditorium of the RLDS Church. And she spoke to them about her experiences with the Maya people. And they were later printed in a little magazine that they published every quarter, I believe. And I used to purchase those magazines when they were filled with interesting things like that. And so I have her words. And she is speaking about an ancient belief of the Mayan people which was given to her as a young woman among them. And so from what I'm going to read, these are the words of the Mayan leader that spoke to her. Itzamna, that's the white-bearded God that walked among them, our Lord Jesus Christ. Itzamna has not forgotten us. The promise carried with his hand, the torch will live. We will build cities of stone once more. We will build them upon the bodies and the promises of those who walked with Hunabku, God the Father. And there will be beauty and laughter on the earth, and sorrow we will no more. I look forward to that day that's in their ancient words and beliefs of these people. This word, I believe, of which Jesus Christ was speaking. I'm going to now turn in chapter 9 and look down at verse 60. Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. A prophet will be raised up. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'd like to ask Adam if he'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy and read in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy one verse. The words of the prophet, verse 18.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Jesus Christ is that prophet of whom he spoke. And he came to see these people, the descendants of Israel. And I am confident that he came to others as well. We know that these people who were led to America were the last group of which is spoken in chapter 3 of Jacob, who were led out of their homeland. And there were two other groups of righteous Israelites who were led away before they were carried away into destruction, just as these people were left Jerusalem and brought to America before Jerusalem was destroyed and its people carried into Babylonia. And Jesus Christ, when he stood here and he talked to these people, and I don't remember exactly, I think it's in chapter 7, he told them, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, nor are they of Jerusalem, and they too shall hear my voice. And he went among them. And I'm sure that there are other records that maybe no one has any idea of what they are or where they are. Other records of Jesus Christ among the descendants of Israel. But he walked among them. And today, he is fulfilling his prophecy. These people, those people to whom he went and carried the gospel, and the scattered remnants that never heard him or saw him, that were carried away from Jerusalem long before the time of our Jesus Christ. These will hear the gospel by our voice. We need to be praying for our missionaries. We need to be praying to God to direct us to where the remnants of these people are found today. How important that is. So, we of the restored gospel, we have a great commission to fulfill. In the book of Luke, and I'm not going to turn to it and read it in chapter 21 in verse 24 of St. Luke, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people about the time of the Gentiles. When the Jewish people fell into slavery and captivity and rejected Jesus Christ, it was the time of the Gentiles began. The gospel was carried over into Asia Minor and then into Europe. And in the parts of Asia, the gospel was carried unbelievably in the 14th century when Marco Polo made a journey. He went all the way to China, and every night they stopped in a Christian monastery where they spent the night. What a marvelous thing to imagine. The gospel was spread among the people. It was the time of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles took advantage of that time. And they dominated the world. All the nations, every inch of Africa was made a colony of some European nation. And much, not only of Africa, but much of Asia, Australia, North America, made colonies of Great Britain. The time of the Gentiles. But Jesus said, Jerusalem will be under the domination of Gentile nations until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And I remember, and you remember reading about it and hearing about it in the year 1967 in a little battle, a war of 6 days. Jerusalem once again became the capital of Israel for the first time in 1900 years. And the time of the Gentiles came to an end. And within 5 years, before or after that date of 1967, those colonies of European nations gained their freedom for the first time. The time of the Gentiles had come to an end. We're living in the day of Israel once again. This is the time of Israel. This is the time when God's work will be among them and His presence and His Spirit leading them and blessing them. And we are called to be a part of it. I'd like to read verse 68. Verse 68. That I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. The land of Israel, the mountains of Israel, once again, will be fruitful. The people of Israel will live there, and they will inhabit it, the desolate cities. And they will be a peaceful people under the eye of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But before that day, they do need to hear the gospel. They have to hear it. They have to receive and know Jesus Christ and worship Him. And that is our mission of this latter day. We need to be praying about that. That should be a part of our everyday morning prayer. As we begin this day, we need to be remembering these marvelous things, God's deliverance, God's protection, God's word going back to these people, because that is His will. That is His promise. It has been given. It has been written. And so I'd like to ask Adam if he would read in 2 Nephi chapter 15, two verses, verse 9 and 10. 2 Nephi, the last chapter, in 2 Nephi, verses 9 and 10. These words of Nephi, how important they are.
I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ, and enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation.
That's why we need to carry the restored gospel to these scattered remnants of Israel, wherever they might be found. And when they do receive Him, that's when these words of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. Then the Father shall gather them home again. The Father shall gather them home. In verse 74 through verses 83, there's a lot of that is just quotation from Isaiah. And it's a quotation that a lot of times we haven't given a lot of significance to, but I'd like to ask Adam if he would read it. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 9.
Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall come no more into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and when the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem.
This is our great work, the task that lies before us, our prayers, our study, our efforts, opportunities to be a witness of these things to the house of Israel. What a marvelous thing. I'm going to skip now over to the words of Jesus in verse 86. These are the words of Jesus, and he is speaking, remember, he is speaking in all this case to the remnant of Israel in the house of Joseph that was found there in Mesoamerica. And I'm not saying that all of that remnant of Joseph was found there in Mesoamerica, but at that time of Jesus, these are the people to whom he is talking. And I have reason to believe that after he left them, he appeared to others here in America. But we have no evidence of it yet, except for the traditions of these ancient American people to the north and to the south of Mesoamerica. But in verse 86, I'd like to read these important words of Jesus, and they are important. And he said, and verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign. A sign. That's what we always want that, don't we? A sign that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather them in. I shall gather in from their long dispersion to take my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. This is the sign. When he shall gather together his people, what is that sign? Let's read about that sign. I'm going to skip down now to verse 93. And when these things come to pass, that thy seed, thy descendants, shall begin to know these things that we have written in the Book of Mormon, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people which are of the house of Israel. This is the sign. How blessed I feel when, as a young man, I was asked to return to Yucatan with Brother Clarence Wheaton, who had been there a year earlier and preached. Clarence and his wife, Angela, made a long journey by car. They went down around in the area of Veracruz somewhere. And that was the end of the road. And they wanted to go to Yucatan. And you know, Clarence and Angela, wherever they went, within a matter of moments, they seemed to meet the right people and make friends with the right people to help them accomplish whatever they needed to do. And they met a person who told them, well, I can take you over to Campeche, which is right next to Yucatan. And there was no road between them. No railroad, no highway, no ruddy road at all. But here was a man who had an airplane, and he needed to go to Campeche. And so he took them there. And when they got to Campeche, they were able to find a bus that was going to Yucatan. Because Clarence had met together with a friend of his who was the leader of a large association of Native American people, the Tribes of America. And this man was a leader. And the reason that Clarence had that opportunity, because he was a descendant of Israel as well in a far distant way. But this man gave him an introductory note to the chief of the Mayan people. His name was Nemencio Shu, and he lived in Yucatan. And Clarence had a letter of introduction to him. And so they got on the bus, and they were taking a long journey from Campeche, the city of Campeche and the state of Campeche, up to Yucatan and over to Tikul. And after a long journey, it was getting late in the evening, and they saw a sign on the edge of the road that said Tikul. And so they got up and took their luggage, and they told the bus driver they wanted to get off at this road. And he tried to talk to them, and he tried to talk them out of it, you know, that you can't get to Tikul on this road. But they couldn't understand his words, and so they got off the bus. And this kind man, when he got to the next city, a city called Muna, which is about 30, 40 miles from Tikul, he stopped and he paid somebody to go back and get Clarence and Angela. Because that road that was going over the mountains, there was no vehicle that would go on it. You had to do it by horseback or bicycle or foot. And the bus driver knew it, but Clarence and Angela didn't. So this man came back and got them, and he took them to Tikul. They rented a house. They made an appointment. They went to see Nemencio Shu. And he talked with them, and he said, I'll tell you, we'll come back on Sunday, and I'll ask people to come and to hear you. And so when that morning arrived, Clarence and Angela left their room. Angela told Brother Clarence, take your Book of Mormon. Well, I don't take your Book of Mormon. You may need it. And so he did. And there went with him a friend. As I say, wherever he went, he found a friend. This man was a Yucatecan who had lived in New York City for several years and spoke English, Spanish, and Maya. His name was Ramiro Lara. Ramiro went with them to translate. And when they got there, Clarence saw the house was full because Nemencio Shu had invited people from neighboring villages all around to come and hear this man. And so he took out his Book of Mormon when he was asked to speak, and he had Ramiro Lara turn to chapter 5. Of 3rd Nephi, and read that beautiful experience of the first coming of Jesus Christ among the descendants of the house of Joseph here in this land. And he read these verses, and when he got through them, he handed the book back to Clarence. And one of the leaders of the Yucatecan people got up, and he came forward, and he took that, and he said, this is our book. It tells the same story as our ancient records that were burned in Mani by Diego de Landa, who was the inquisitor at that time in the 1500s. This book is our book. Clarence talked to them more. And when he got through speaking, he asked if there were any present who would like to begin a Sunday school of the Church of Christ. And two men spoke up immediately and said they would. These two men had been invited, and they had been prepared by the Lord for that meeting. 20 or 30 years before, these two men, Sabino Cabrera, whose descendants fill the church in Son, the first church established. These two men were poor, and they were traveling by horseback from Son to another community far away where they had relatives, where they were going to look for work. And on the way, they had to stop overnight. They spent the night. Early the next morning, they were up. They prepared their breakfast. And while they were sitting there eating, they saw up the trail a man with a long robe and a white face and a beard walking down the trail. And he came to them, and he looked them in the eye, and he said that he had to go to Bolin Chain. And he went on his way. Well, they said, we've got another horse. Let's get our stuff ready and find him up here on the trail and offer to let him ride our horse. So they got all their stuff together, and they got on their horses, and they ran up the trail. They never found him. When they got to the next village, they asked if someone had seen this man. They called him the prophet. And they said, yes, he was here. Cabrera brothers ride there about 11 o'clock that morning. Yes, he was here about 8 o'clock in the morning. They mounted up again, and on they went to Bolin Chain. They went to a house of their relative. It was almost evening now, dark, getting dark, when they arrived. And they asked about this man who had come there, who said he was coming there. Yes, he arrived. He said he's going to meet with us in the plaza on tomorrow, that the Lord has given him a prophecy to talk to the people. On the morrow, Sabino, Susano were up early and walked down to the plaza by the village well that was right in the center of the plaza in every town in those days. There they stood waiting. People were all over the houses, the roofs of the houses, sitting in trees all the way around the plaza, waiting. And then here he came. And he walked across the plaza, and he stood in the middle of it, near where Susano and Sabina were. And he began to speak to the people that the Lord God was unhappy with the way they worshiped and the kind of worship that they performed. He wanted them to know the truth. And he said, the gospel will come to the home of Sabino, the home of Nemencio Shu in Tekul. He told them the gospel would come to the home of Nemencio Shu. But he said, I want to prophesy about the judgments of God that are going to fall upon this people for their sins. And he told them about a plague of grasshoppers that was going to come over Yucatan and destroy their crop. And there would be no food. And then he told them about the destruction of the only seaport on the southern part of the Yucatan Peninsula, the city of Chetumal. And he said there will be another world war take place, and the nations of the world will be involved in conflict. He said there will come a day when Merida will be connected to the rest of the countries around about in the states by roads and highways and railroads. The people were angry with it when he spoke about all those things, the bad things that were going to come to pass. He called them judgments of God. A group of men gathered around him and they took a hold of him and they threw him down the well. And just like you read about in the third book of Nephi, those three that were chosen by the Lord to tarry upon the earth and bear witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they could be cast in the wells and they would come back up unharmed. They would be protected. He came back up. He looked into the eyes of Sabino and Susano. And he made his way. People parted away from him. He walked away and disappeared. These two brothers waited. Year after year after year. In the early 1930s, that terrible plague of grasshoppers destroyed the corn crop in Yucatan. In the year 1937, a hurricane destroyed the seaport of Chetumal. The waters rushed in and over the city, and when the waters receded, the ships in the harbor were left up in the middle of the city. And in 1941, the world was engulfed in another world war. And now here it was, 1952. And a man came carrying the fullness of the gospel. The message found in the Book of Mormon, our book. And they said, yes, we do. And Clarence and his wife established the first branch of the Church of Christ there in Zion. Now we have two churches in Zion. Multitudes of congregations and missions around the country hearing and embracing the fullness of the gospel. Now for the first time, we have a family in Chiapas where this woman, Karina Shields, grew up. We have nobody yet that is a believer in Guatemala. We need to be praying for opportunities and openings to come. The time is growing short. The day is upon us. The Lord's work is being accomplished. Your prayers, your tithes, your help are a part of that great work. God bless you each.